The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Time now for Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine, bringing you the latest information on medicine, nutrition, fitness, and wellness. Now, in its 28th year, your host of Dr. Health Radio is health expert David Snow, who is not a doctor. And while most of David's guests are doctors or authorities in their areas of expertise, they do not diagnose or prescribe on the air. If you have a condition or illness that requires medical attention, see a health professional. The information contained in this program is for educational and entertainment purposes only. And now, your host of Dr. Health Radio, the Snowman himself, David Snow.
Hey, how do radios greet each other? With airwaves, of course. Well, we want to greet you and welcome you to the healthiest 2 hours on radio. It's the Snowman with you, David Snow, keeping you cool and healthy, as we do it each and every week at this time here on the program. And we thank you so much for joining us and making us a part of your weekend, which we hope to make strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. Today in the program, in this hour of the show, healthcare policy reform. Boy, if this isn't a timely show, I don't know what is. I couldn't have hit it better. If you watched the news last night, it was big news last night. It will, of course, bubble into the headline news of the weekend. But a judge ruled against the Affordable Care Act, a judge in Texas last night, or yesterday, and it was on the news last night. But we have in our studio Philip Romero. He's a former chief economist of two governors from California, both Governor Schwarzenegger and Governor Pete Wilson before Governor Schwarzenegger. And he knows a thing or two about healthcare and healthcare policy. And we'll talk all about everything from Medicare, Medi-Scare, Obamacare, the healthcare system as we know it presently, and what it can be in the future if we take some steps to improve it. So, he is the author of Health Financing Without Deficits, Reform That Sidesteps Political Gridlock, which it looks like we're going to have more of in the upcoming months and years. So Mr. Romero will be with us to clear the air on some of the things having to do with your health care. All right. Before that, though, we have some featured or some news to get to, and then the health hotline news, and then on to our interview with Philip Romero. All right, let's see. What else do we have here? Did you know you're more likely to die over Christmas than at any other time of the year? In fact, a study, you may have seen it was just out this week. It finds that you're 37% more likely to die from a heart attack on Christmas Eve around 10 o'clock in the evening than you are at any other time. So it's very important to keep up your health at this time of the year. And this is the time of the year and when people let their health go and, go off the wagon, so to speak. And, it's no holds barred with the Christmas treats and sweets and meats and everything that you indulge in during the holidays. And like Thanksgiving, a lot of people go on one side of the family's celebration, and then in the same day they'll go to the other relatives and have a double celebration and double the amount of calories and alcohol and everything else that they normally would consume. So just a word to the wise out there. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy yourself. We want everybody to enjoy themselves, but health is your greatest wealth. And one thing that I always say, nothing tastes as good as healthy feels. All right. Okay, well, there's a quote that I saw. Today, I will live in the moment. Unless it's unpleasant, in which case I'll eat a cookie. No, just kidding. Let's see what else. Here's a Christmas gift idea for anybody that rides on a scooter or motorcycle or moped, or if you ride a bicycle. Current helmet technology offers effective protection and stylish protection from serious head injuries. Helmets are not as cumbersome as they used to be, and they're not as bad as they used to look. A lot of people, believe it or not, vanity comes into play. I don't look good in the helmet. Women say, oh, it's going to mess up my hair. Well, how messed up will your hair be when it scrapes the cement going 20 miles an hour? Anyway, helmets reduce odds of severe traumatic brain injury by 51%. Odds of mortality by 44%, and the odds of facial fractures by 31%. So really good gift idea if you know someone out there who rides, but if you know that they don't have a helmet, you might be giving a life-saving gift and not even know it. So, all right, so I'll get off my soapbox here. Let's see, where else are we going here? here's a new paper in the study. A study of osteoporotic fractures, and they found that bones tell no lies. Women with the most weight variability over 20 years were twice as likely to have poor scores of physical functions. So the take-home message is that crash diets ruin your body at the most basic level, and that is your skeleton. So you want to lose weight slowly. And people say, oh, it's going to take me 2 years, or, I don't want to lose weight that slowly. I mean, it's going to take forever, a year or two to take off this weight. Well, think about it, folks. It probably took you a year or two to gain the weight that you're trying to lose. It's not overnight. I know it's easier to gain weight than lose weight, except for me. I've been trying to gain weight for the last 40 years. Anyway, the main thing is to keep it off. 96% of people successfully lose weight, but only about 4% successfully keep it off. All right, straight ahead of the news. Three factors that determine how happy you are. Plus, the five deadliest viruses, what you need to know about them. Then a dangerous first aid mistake that you probably will make if you are if you're going to be attempting or facing this particular first aid emergency. Also, a few tips about the cup that cheers. Details to these stories and more coming up on the Health Hotline News.
This is Anthony Hopkins with an important message about cancer prevention and treatment. Did you know that the right foods can help prevent this frightening disease? New studies show that fruits, vegetables, whole grains, and other high-fiber vegetarian foods reduce the risk of certain cancers, and they may even improve survival. Visit cancerproject.org or call 866-906-WELL. Brought to you by the Cancer Project, a non-profit organization advancing cancer prevention and survival.
Noni has been used by Polynesians and Hawaiians for over 2,000 years as their main medicinal plant. Now our new products bring the power of Noni fruit to you in a pleasant-to-use form. Noni fruit leather is made from pure, organic, unfermented fruit and offers relief for many health problems inside and out. Our soothing lavender Noni lotion helps with pain, skin ailments, and sports injuries. Noni fruit leather and lavender Noni lotion are available online or at most health food stores. Try our Noni lotion and fruit leather for improved health and energy.
By now, you've heard about the popularity of products containing cannabis-based CBD because of the many benefits people are experiencing by taking them. What you may not know, though, is there are other plants besides cannabis that contain these same cannabinoids. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the global leader in the research and development of plant-based phytocannabinoids, offers you five dual-acting formulas for the results you expect. Choose from Bliss, Brain, Calm, Inflame, and Sleep. And no matter which doctor formulated product you choose, you can feel confident that every one of Emerald's safe and effective science-based nutritional supplements are the best value for the price. So if you're someone who's looking for more vibrant health and energy, stop by your favorite health store today to check out the next big thing, the hot products from Emerald Health Bioceuticals, or check them out at emeraldhealthbio.com. Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company.
For current health news from around the world, Hawaii depends on the HLTH Health News Network. Time now for the Health Hotline News.
You're most likely to be happy if you have a sister, for those of you lucky enough to have a sister. People with at least one female sibling reported better social support, more optimism, and greater coping abilities, according to the British Psychological Society. Also, if you were a smiley student, look back at your yearbook picture or your college yearbook pictures and those books, if you still have them. Adults who had the biggest grins in their high school or college pictures were up to five times less likely to be divorced decades later than those who looked less happy. And also, if you're not glued to the TV, bubblegum for your eyes, happiest people spend 30% less time watching television, preferring to socialize, read, or attend religious services instead, habits that are linked to better moods and health. So there you go. All right, let's go to the diet department. What's so wrong with Italian food? I mean, obviously not the taste, because it's the most popular ethnic cuisine in America. But the challenge is portion size. You know, I always remember my first trip to Italy, what was back in about 1980. And I ordered a pizza and I thought, where's the cheese? You know, they just had a little patch of cheese here and there, and then some basil and oregano and a little sauce. Even the sauce was not spread out over the whole pizza. But anyway, it's all about portion size. So ask for half portion sizes, and this is not just for Italian food. It's for most foods that you eat in restaurants or order. They're going to have twice as much as you actually need, or you might want to split an entree with your restaurant partner, you know, your friend or significant other that you're dining with. Also, for pasta, you want to say around with the size of a baseball. That's the portion size. And for a protein, so if it's fish or some protein source, the size of a hockey puck. And then order extra vegetables. That's always a good thing, whether it's on pizza or in your with your main dish or your entree. And also salad is usually better than ordering sautéed vegetables, because you can't control how much oil they put when they're sautéing your vegetables. You don't know how much is really going in there. Whereas if you order salad, you can order it with vinegar, oil and vinegar on the side, and then you can choose to put however much you want. And then finally, choosing plain tomato or red clam sauce versus Alfredo, that's going to save you two-thirds the calories. The red sauces, for instance, only have about one-third the calories of Alfredo. Okay, all right, let's talk about the five deadliest viruses. Now, first of all, viruses are, they're just marvels of living things. Actually, a lot of scientists contend they're not alive, but they're the tiniest biological replicators on the planet, roughly about 100 times smaller than bacteria. And they can't live on their own. They're kind of like parasites, so they hijack other cells in your body and turn them into virus factories, and they're really clever. Borrow from the cells they infect all the things that are necessary to perpetuate their existence. They kind of take over the production line, so to speak, and the infected cell stops making its own proteins and starts making or reading the virus code and assembling virus proteins. So that's not a good thing. But the five deadliest viruses, and by the way, scientists estimate there are at least 300,000 viruses capable of infecting mammals. But number one on the list, Ebola, which can cause hemorrhagic fever, killing an average of 50% of people infected. And as you know, a couple of years ago, we had the largest outbreak ever recorded. Marburg virus, that's carried by fruit bats, and that's also fatal in around 50% of cases. Fortunately, these viruses are not common in our neck of the woods, and they're not that common. But you know, there are outbreaks, and as people travel more, and as we become a more homogeneous society on a worldwide basis, this is something to be aware of. The number three on the list, the Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever, killing up to 40% of people infected. The coronavirus is at number four. That's the SARS virus. You've probably heard of the SARS virus. causing a cough and fever and breathlessness. That's 35% fatal in the number of people that get it. And the Nipah virus first appeared in 1998. It's also carried by fruit bats and causes fever, headaches, drowsiness, and sometimes fatal brain swelling. All right. Okay, here's a dangerous first aid mistake that you probably make, not treating a burn long enough. Now, first of all, forget the butter or ice. The best way to soothe a burned area of skin, your burned skin, is to run it under cool water. But most people only do it for a few seconds or a few minutes, and that's really not enough. You need to do it for at least 20 minutes, so says Dr. Jeffrey Pellegrino from the American Red Cross. He says that the heat from a burn travels deep into your skin where it can continue to destroy tissue even if you've cooled the surface of your skin. So make sure you cool a burn for an extended length of time, so to make sure that you cool it down under the surface. You need you need the cold to soak in to prevent further damage to the tissue. All right. Now, I thought of this the other day. What if you had health buds, like you have taste buds? You know, in addition to your taste buds, you have these health buds on your tongue, and that would sense whether a food was good for you or not, and you'd automatically spit it out if it wasn't. Boy, how our diets would change, that's for sure. But let's talk about taste bud training. You can actually train your palate to appreciate healthy foods by... actually, this study from Purdue University says you can learn from kids. They gave children bitter cocoa for 6 weeks, and they saw their bitterness rating decrease thanks to changes in their saliva. And the scientists think that this is a way to make kids adjust to healthy, bitter foods. You know, there's a lot of foods that are bitter, but they're healthy. Think of leafy greens. You know, arugula has that bitter pepperiness. Watercress is another one. And those are two of the healthiest greens that you can possibly eat. On the other hand, head lettuce, not so much. All right. New rule for spotting skin cancer, actually not new, but just to reiterate, size matters less than you think when it comes to better skin cancer protection. A lot of dermatologists you've always heard that 6 millimeters are larger than a pencil eraser. You know, if it grows in size, it's going to be more serious. But size, they say, is increasingly arbitrary and irrelevant. This particular researcher, Dr. Stuart Goldsmith, he says that one study estimates that 22% of invasive melanomas are less than 5 millimeters. So, and oh, by the way, next hour, speaking of skin, medical physician Dr. Judson Somerville joins us. He is, boy, this guy has been around. He's been, well, you've seen him on television. He's been on all the and all the magazines, but he joins us to talk about his new research on a vitamin that your skin produces. That is, of course, vitamin D, actually more like a hormone than a vitamin, and he has some surprising and little-known facts about it and what it can do for you, what you'll learn during next hour's program here on Dr. Health Radio's original health news magazine. We invite you to tune in. If you can't tune in next hour, our show is rebroadcast tonight from 9 to 11 p.m. here on AM 690 or 94.3 The Answer. Hey, if you're around King Street and University Avenue today, happening today from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Down to Earth Honolulu, Natural Factors is giving away free taste samples of their Whole Earth and Sea fermented greens. It's a green drink. When you think fermented, you think, oh, no, it must taste like kimchi or kefir or yogurt or something. No. It's just a delicious green drink. In fact, they're sampling the tropical flavor today, and it's delicious. I've had it many times. It's also on sale today, so stop by the King Street branch of Down to Earth. Of course, they have 6 stores now, but this is their original flagship store near King and University, and starting at 11 a.m., that's right after we get off the air here at Dr. Health, and continuing until 2 this afternoon. And they'll be featuring tasty samples also of their Whole Earth and Sea Greens protein bars, which are actually also delicious. All right, just one more article before we get on to our guest, Philip Romero, on healthcare policy reform. Next week is our annual show on alcohol and alcohol addiction. So here's a few things to know regarding your cup of cheer. You know, 'tis the season for toasting, right? But sometimes toasting a few glasses too many, and that means a rough morning after. Well, Protein, the protein in red meat, although I don't condone eating red meat, but it can slow alcohol absorption better than other foods. The main thing is you eat something, though, before you drink, so that the food itself, just the very fact that you have food in your stomach is going to slow alcohol absorption, but some foods do it better than others. Also, don't sip red or don't guzzle red wine. Rather, sip it. Red wine contains compounds that, you know, sometimes can be helpful, but it can also contribute to hangovers. The pigments in the red wine more so than for white wine. And also, the main thing to know is to avoid those extra holiday pounds. I'm not a drinker, so I don't know. Hot buttered rum, apparently that's a drink. But 420 calories, that's a calorie bomb as well as an alcohol drink. And eggnog, even before you put the brandy in, has 240 calories, so that's something to be aware of. Whereas champagne, 4-ounce glass of champagne, only 85 calories. And as I mentioned in next week's program, in the 10 o'clock hour, alcohol will be our topic, as it is every year at this time, as we discuss alcohol addiction, as well as how to spot hidden alcoholics both in your life and on the road you happen to be driving on. Doug Thorburn, the author of 4 books on alcohol addiction, joins us on next week's program here on Dr. Health Radio. All right, that's it for the Health Hotline news. When we come back, healthcare policy reform, including news, the newest, as of last night, a judge struck down the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, in the country. We'll hear about that and how a group of governors and attorneys general got together to do that. We'll talk about the particulars of health care, two-thirds of all the bankruptcies in this country are the result of medical bills. And we're going to get a little political here, the mistakes that both conservatives and liberals make in addressing our healthcare issues. So Philip Romero here. If you'd like to call us, our phone number is 833-296-TALK. That's 8255 if you have any questions on healthcare policy reform. Stick around if you want to stay healthy. Back right after this as Dr. Health Radio continues.
When it comes to probiotics, why do employees, managers, and owners of health stores recommend and personally take Theralac more than any other brand? Results. Fast results. In fact, Theralac is the fastest-acting medicinal-strength probiotic. With patented stomach acid-resistant delivery, prebiotic stimulation, and guaranteed potency, Theralac restores regularity fast while providing all the long-term benefits of a superior probiotic supplement. Don't be fooled by probiotic products that promise higher potencies or more strains of beneficial bacteria. High potency means nothing without delivery, and more strains are not necessarily better. Theralac is optimally formulated for results. Theralac, the high-potency probiotic with guaranteed strength, delivery, and stimulation, supporting your digestion, regularity, and immunity. Theralac, available in the refrigerated section of your favorite health store. For more information, go to Theralac.com.
Copycats? They're out there. Be strong and healthy. Tune in to the big dog. Dr. Health Radio, radio's original health news magazine.
Welcome back to the program, where more information equals less medication. David Snow on your radio, 26 minutes after the hour. Thanks for staying with us here on the healthiest 2 hours on radio. In the studio with me, it's been 2 years since we've had him in here because he is not a resident of the islands, but he came back to be with us here. Philip Romero, he's the author of Health Financing Without Deficits, Reform That Sidesteps Political Gridlock, which we're going to have a lot more of, possibly, in the upcoming months and the next few years. Mr. Romero is the chief economist, former chief economist for 2 California governors, as I mentioned earlier, both former Governor Pete Wilson and Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's here to talk about our present-day healthcare system as well as how we can make improvements And we'd like to welcome him back to the Dr. Health Radio microphones this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, David. Thanks.
Philip Romero.
Thanks for having me here.
How the health are you?
A lot better now that I'm in Honolulu.
Okay, all right. Now, breaking news. I couldn't have timed this any better. I mean, to have you on, and we've talked about this. I mean, you've scheduled this trip for months, and I mean, this was the Saturday you were going to be on, and wouldn't you know it, luck would have it, last night, breaking news nationally that a judge in Texas struck down the Affordable Care Act. Tell us about that.
Yeah, sure. So I've read several news articles about this, which have been pretty terrible, actually. But 20 Republican governors and state attorney generals sued, arguing that when the federal tax changes in late a year ago happened, that struck down the Affordable Care Act's individual mandate, that is a requirement you buy insurance. They said that nullified the whole law, and a judge bought the argument. He has stayed his order so it can continue to be implemented for a while, because he knows full well it's going to be appealed.
Right. Yeah.
But essentially the requirement that you buy insurance, which was essential to the ACA, was eliminated a year ago. And he says once we pulled that block out of the Jenga, the whole thing fell apart.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And undoubtedly, there are a whole bunch of Democratic attorney generals who are going to appeal it. This is going to go to the Supreme Court. So if you guys are – anybody out there is either depending on or hates the ACA, do not consider this the last word. It isn't yet.
Okay, what do you think the outcome of the appeals are going to be?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, the Supreme Court basically upheld the ACA twice in the early 2000s. You know, it was passed in 2010. There were major cases in 2012 and 2014, and it upheld them both times.
Hmm.
But now we have a new judge, Brett Kavanaugh, and of course a little bit more conservative. So I think the odds are that this ruling will be appealed, but I said it's 3 out of 4 chance it will be, but I'm not sure it will be.
Hmm. Interesting. All right, let's talk about our present healthcare system. It's not healthy.
Yeah, I mean, amen to that.
So when you were working under Governor Schwarzenegger and then earlier under Governor Pete Wilson,
right,
in California, what basically were you advising them to do regarding healthcare?
Yeah, I was not.
Because that's a huge part of the budget, I mean, of both state budgets and government
budgets.
Yeah,
I mean, health care is about one out of every $5 of the U.S. economy.
Mm-hmm.
And for a typical state, it's more like one out of $3.
Yeah,
sometimes even
right.
Half. Absolutely right, especially in a state like here in Hawaii. That was not my primary role. I was about growing the economy more generally. But at the time, I had a pretty traditional Republican belief that if you just introduce more competition, that competition would drive prices down. And many, many liberals will say healthcare is different. That won't be the case. I don't think healthcare really is different, but I think what's happened is that the health lobby has so controlled politics that they make sure competition is very limited. So you have typically, in a given, say, state, you have very few hospitals, you have very few insurance companies, you often have large medical groups. So there really isn't very much competition. So making the market more free only works if you break up monopolies, which no politician has had the stomach to do.
Because they're the biggest contributors
to their
campaigns.
Yeah, I mean, even we talked about the Affordable Care Act a moment ago. The Obama administration looked closely at Hillary Clinton's attempt in the early 1990s, and they watched the Harry and Louise insurance company commercials kill Hillary Care. And so they said, we've got to find a way to co-opt the insurance companies. And they basically did it by knuckling under them, giving them everything they wanted in the ACA.
Huh. Interesting. Now, within the realms of the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, the hospitals, everybody that has a piece of the pie, and of course they want to justify and they want to ensure their existence in the future.
Yeah.
What's the answer to this? I mean, as you see it, as being the former chief economist for California.
I don't have a complete magic.
Where's your crystal ball? One of those pockets of your jacket has to have a crystal ball.
Yeah, the old joke is that economists are the only forecasters that make astrologers look good.
I never heard that. That's a good one.
There are two things that I think would help a lot. One I just alluded to, which is we should be enforcing antitrust laws on insurers and hospitals much more than we do. I mean, competition could help. It's not a complete solution at all, but it could help. And all the talk right now about Medicare for All and single payer is essentially because people have thrown up their hands. They don't think the market will work, so they want to replace the market. Mm. I think you could improve things if you actually created competition and let the market work more, but it's not a complete solution at all. A second thing I think is necessary, which is the subject of the book that we talked about 2 years ago, Health Financing Without Deficits, is you could finance, governments could finance healthcare much more affordably so that their payments were much more stable and inflation was much less and much more predictable if they adopted the approach we described in that book, which I can talk about if you want, but it's pretty technical.
Okay, well, if you can translate it into layman terms, we'll allow it. Okay.
To some degree, sir.
All right. Okay, on that note, Philip, we're going to take a bottom of the hour break and be back with more information for your good health here on Dr. Health as we talk about healthcare policy and its reform, what's wrong with it, what it has going for it. We'll talk about some of the positives. Let's do that when we come back. Both and then also the mistakes that both sides of the aisle make, whether it's the conservatives or the liberals, when they want to make health or when they're trying to reform healthcare policy. Also, I want to ask you about the VA, Veterans Administration, and how that comes into play when it comes to covering, both their healthcare that they have to, that we have to cover for them, and the costs and the reality of the situation. So much more information, information to come as we try to talk too fast here on Dr. Health. No, we will be back with more information right after this. So stick around if you want to stay healthy.
Hi there, health fans. Dick Allgaier here. A new study has some quite disturbing findings about what smartphones and tablets do to the brains of adolescents. How you walk upstairs can show much about the future of your health, and how smartphones are now diagnosing medical conditions very easily. All coming up in my health report in the next hour of the Dr. Health Show.
At 63, this year's Sports Illustrated cover model, Christy Brinkley, looks as beautiful, youthful, and healthy as ever. Her secret? Regain lost collagen. Add new collagen. Protect her existing collagen. Christy knows that after the age of 21, our natural collagen production slows by 1% per year. By age 30, the signs become visible. That's why her number one beauty supplement is Biosil Hair Skin Nails, the clinically proven advanced collagen generator and protector. Unlike the collagen pills and powders that your body breaks down and simply uses as a food source, Biosil from Natural Factors activates your body's own collagen-generating enzymes. In fact, clinical trials prove that Biosil reduces fine lines and wrinkles by 30%, increases skin elasticity by 89%, thickens and strengthens hair by 13%, and dramatically strengthens nails. So when you want to look beautiful, youthful, and healthy like Christy, choose Biosil, the clinically proven advanced collagen generator. To learn more, visit BiosilUSA.com.
AM 690, The Answer, KHNR, Honolulu, a service of Salem Communications, on the NASDAQ at SALM. AM 690, The Answer.
No. It's David the Snowman. Hey, welcome back to the program. I don't have two eyes made out of coal, that's for sure. Hey, welcome back to the show. Thanks for staying with us and making us a part of your weekend, which we do hope to make strong and healthy with the information we have for you this morning. And today we're talking about healthcare. You know, a lot of people, and by the way, if you're just tuning us in, Philip Romero is in the studio with us. He's the author of Health Financing Without Deficits. And Philip, let's talk about the fact that a lot of people think that because they have insurance that, hey, they don't have anything to worry about. They don't have to live a healthy lifestyle. Of course, that's a whole other program, and I know that's not your specialty, but you'd be surprised how many people have that mentality or mindset.
And actually, I'm an economist by profession, and there's a term for that in economics called moral hazard.
Moral hazard
is the idea that if you're protected from something, you'll indulge in riskier behaviors.
Uh-huh.
So once cars became safer, fewer people wore seatbelts. If a kid knows that you'll protect them if they do something dangerous, they'll do more dangerous things. And adults don't do any different.
Are grown-up kids.
and of course, insurance companies try to respond to this with copays and deductibles, and they've gotten extremely expensive now. So anybody who believes the insurance company is going to protect me from myself is delusional.
Well, I think a lot of people are bitching and moaning about these copays that never were in existence before, and I think it's the best thing that ever happened to insurance because it makes people they have some skin in the game.
Yeah,
even if it's not about their skin, but sometimes it is.
That is a classic Republican view, and it's one I share. The basic notion is, ultimately, you can control health costs in one of three ways. You can create more competition, as I mentioned, which Republicans will say is the whole answer. I don't think it's only a partial answer. You can regulate the hell out of it, which is what Democrats want to do. Or you can reduce demand. And one way to reduce demand is to raise the price, which is what deductibles essentially do.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to pay more of my own money and not the insurance company, I'm going to think harder before I go to the doctor.
Exactly. Now, what do you say to people who say, well, America is the only first world country in the world that does not have universal health care? I mean, European countries, you pick any of our comparable, the comparable countries out there on this planet, and they have universal health care, and we don't.
Well, and this is an area where my views have evolved a lot. Once upon a time, I would have said, no, the market will solve everything. And I said earlier, I now realize that the politicians don't have the stomach to allow the market to work that well. The Economist, which is not exactly known as a liberal magazine, had a major feature about 6 months ago that made that point and argued that essentially every country ought to have a universal system. I think if we don't have the stomach to stand up to insurance companies and hospitals and create real competition for them, then I think universal care is the only real approach.
Mm-hmm.
And our financing scheme, which is called the health insurance revenue bonds, described in the book, is a way to finance universal care.
Okay. Now let's shift gears to Medicare and Medicare and Medicaid.
Which are universal care for their population.
For that particular segment of the population or that demographic, yeah.
Right.
So how is that working? And from an economist's point of view that you are, if we carried that over to other demographics, the younger aged individuals, both adults
sure.
and...
Well, and of course, I mean, what you're going to see, here's my crystal ball for a second. As the presidential campaign heats up next year, you're going to see a number of Democratic candidates outbidding each other for more and more generous and broader universal care policy proposals. The Medicare for All campaign is underway already.
Okay.
And once the Democrats take the House in January, you're going to see a lot more of that. So this is a very timely topic. They will argue, factually correctly, that Medicare is vastly more efficient than most private insurers. Typical private insurer spends about 15-20% of their revenues on administrative costs.
Okay.
Medicare claims they spend 2%.
Wow.
I'm not sure it's really that different, but
that
even much
if it's 5%,
yeah, precisely. Yeah, mm-hmm. I think. I mean, accounting can play games with this, but even if it's 5%, it's much more efficient. And they'll argue, therefore, that's why putting us all on Medicare is a good idea. What they don't say, I still don't think it's. I still come out on positively, but what they don't say is that one of the ways that the costs are so low is Medicare, because it's such a giant purchaser of health care, they have what economists would call monopsony power. It's the opposite of monopoly. It's when you have only one customer. And they keep rates rates they pay providers, doctors, are very, very low.
And they have the economy of scale, in other words.
They have some economy of scale administratively, but the main way they save money is they just, you know, they're so big that they won't pay doctors market rates.
Right, right. And I've heard doctors complain about that.
Oh, very much so.
And a lot of doctors won't take patients because of that.
And that's right. You know, as they've driven rates down, more and more doctors won't take it. And the other side of it is because they spend so little on administration, they spend nothing on fraud prevention. And Medicare and Medicaid both have major fraud problems. I still think in the end, if we have a universal care system, doing it through Medicaid is probably the right way to do it. But to believe it's going to solve all our problems is again, delusional.
But maybe even if there's that much fraud, the cost of the fraud is so much less than the cost of what we're paying right now.
A total guess. I'm not a specialist about this, but let's say that administration costs 5% of Medicare, not 2%. And let's say fraud costs another 5 or 8%. That's still better than the current.
It's still saving about a third of the cost that we're spending right now. Okay. Okay, let's shift gears once more and talk about, we go from Medicare to the Veterans Administration.
Okay.
Now, I met earlier this year with David Shulkin, former head of the VA.
Right.
And he's still championing the cause. I mean, even though President Trump fired him from the position, he's still very much. And the reason for that was he got into it. I met with him, and there's not time in this show to go into all the particulars. But he's still, I think, he's very sincere in his desire.
And he grew up in the system. He's in the VA system
time. Yeah, right. So talk about the Veterans Administration, if you will, from an economist's point of view.
Yeah, this is an area I'm not very strong in, but yeah, VA is of course universal care for its population. Also, it's a moderately efficient system, but I think as they have driven down their costs, they again have they've created dysfunctions, and the one that we've all heard about is in very, very long waits for veterans to get mm-hmm. care.
Right.
So it's not dissimilar from Medicare. For Medicare, the difference is Medicare contracts with private doctors who say, you're not paying me enough, I won't take it. VA doctors are employees, so they have to take patients, but there aren't enough doctors.
Oh, right. Yeah. And then the new doctors that are coming out of medical school, do they they're not exactly chomping at the bit to get into the VA system or to solicit those patients because, you know, look at how problematic it is.
No, there are a whole bunch of medical fields that have great shortages. VA is one, and primary care is another. I mean, if you come out of medical school with $150,000, $200,000 worth of debt, you want to make a lot of money. You don't want to make the kind of money you make in those professions.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I'll say about the VA is because there are such shortages of doctors, I think what provoked Shulkin's firing ultimately was it turned out certain VA medical centers were falsifying their records.
Yep,
they were claiming care that didn't actually happen or claiming
exactly
more often.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I doubt Shulkin had anything to do with that, but he took the fall.
He inherited that.
It
was already happening for years. All right. Philip, we need to take one last break of the hour to keep the lights on here. And when we come back, I have many more questions about health care, health financing, and how we're going to pay for our health care system here in America. So stick around if you want to stay healthy. Back right after this with Philip Romero. We'll tell you how to get his book, Health Financing Without Deficits. Back right after this as Dr. Health Radio continues.
With all the news about side effects of prescription and OTC anti-inflammatories, just launched is Xanthocin, a very potent yet safe anti-inflammatory supplement for health and longevity. Xanthocin is the result of decades of research on the natural compound astaxanthin, proved to support inflammatory health without the side effects. And Xanthocin is a pure and highly absorbed form of astaxanthin, endorsed by doctors and healthcare professionals for superior health and anti-aging benefits, backed by 1,500 peer-reviewed papers and over 50 human trials. It's also potent. In fact, just 2 capsules of Xanthocin with a meal equals 6 capsules of other astaxanthin products. So enhance enhance your supplement regimen today by adding xanthosin to support your inflammatory health and longevity. You can find physician-endorsed xanthosin at all GNC locations in Hawaii and the mainland, or order it online at xanthosin.com.
Dr. Health Radio, brought to you by Hawaiian Organic Noni, the makers of Noni Fruit Leather and Noni Lavender Lotion. Discover the healing power of Noni at realnoni.com. Also by Emerald Health Bioceuticals, the endocannabinoid company featuring safe and effective phytocannabinoids without the controversial cannabis. And by Master Supplements, the creators of Theralac, the fastest-acting medical-strength probiotic. More information at Theralac.com.
Where did you get that smile? Beautiful smiles from Dr. Dennis Nakata. Where did you get that smile that makes you you? Where did you get that confidence that lets you look like you do? Oh, what a look. Yes, you're looking good. You take care of your teeth just like you should. Where did you get that smile, the one that belongs to you? Nothing looks so right than a smile that's so bright. Tell me, where did you get that smile? You can smile so beautifully. Beautiful smiles are our specialty. Where did you get that smile? Beautiful smiles from Dr. Dennis Nakata.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Shows no signs of stopping. I brought some corn for popping. Lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow.
Hey, and it's David Snow on your radio. Welcome back to the program. Next hour, Dr. Thomas Somerville discusses the optimal dose of vitamin D, that little-known facts about this powerhouse vitamin, which is really a hormone. In fact, if it was discovered today, it would be classified as a hormone. But Dr. Somerville has some interesting research that he has uncovered about it and why you might need to up the dose of vitamin D that you're taking if you want to avoid colds, flu, and other ailments this winter. Be sure to join us for that next hour. Also next hour, Dick Allgaier's Health Report, as well as the Funny Bone Pharmacy, matters of sexual health, and the fitness file. If time allows, we'll have all those features for you as we do each and every week at this time. All right, continuing our conversation with Philip Romero. Philip, how can people get your book, Health Financing Without Deficits?
Oh, thanks. If they're gluttons for punishment, either on Amazon, Health Financing Without Deficits, Philip Romero and Randy Miller are the authors, or at the publisher is Business Expert Press, all one string, businessexpertpress.com.
Great. All right. And how's the book going, by the way? Is it? Is it making money from an economist's point of
exactly.
view?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Economists are people tell you how you should make money, not make money. Yeah. No, it's sold reasonably well, but I think the word financing throw a lot of people off.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, we know, speaking of money, two-thirds, depending on the survey you read, between half and two-thirds of all bankruptcies in this country are the result of medical bills. People that go broke, they just can't pay the medical bills, even if they have insurance. And, once the insurance peaks or once their policy gets to that point, and then they pay after the insurance, after it kicks in, but then it pays the caps.
There's a maximum they have
to
keep paying, right?
Right, yeah. And so things, and the procedures are so obscenely expensive. I mean, even some simple consultations, $1,000, $1,500 for a few minutes. It's ridiculous.
I agree.
So, and I think, isn't that built into the system? Obviously, the insurance companies and the hospitals and pharmaceutical companies, they build that factor in, knowing that the government's going to want to shave it down, or certain institutions are going to want to cut those numbers. So,
I want to plug somebody else's book here for a second.
Sure.
On this subject,
please.
Elizabeth Rosenthal is now the editor of Kaiser Health News, longtime New York Times health reporter, and she wrote a book. Oh, I'm blanking on the name of it right now. Elizabeth Rosenthal, and it's all about this subject: is how essentially the medical system, which started off meaning to help people and just keep the lights on, and is now driven by greed. And she goes through for hospitals, insurance companies, doctors, and other things as well. And for example, what you're referring to, David, is, you know, I get my bills, and I'll find that, you know, for you know, an office visit, they'll charge $800. The insurance companies will cut it to $200. You know,
And yet, if you don't have insurance, oh, we'll give you a courtesy 80% discount. You know, and it comes to $150, $200, well, which is what they expect to get anyway.
Yeah, it's all a big game. Yeah. And I, for a long time, when I first got in this business, I assumed that insurance companies were mainly hired by employers, because most Americans have employer-based health insurance. Mm-hmm. And their mission was to drive down what providers were charging them. But what I've discovered now is that it's all a game. The providers, of course, realize this and just balance bill, as they call it, inflate it, right? Mm-hmm. And the insurance companies, because they did their job too well in the 90s and they got too much backlash, they don't do it anymore. They basically, I mean, it's all a big kabuki. They don't really exercise any real cost.
It reminds me of jewelry stores or retail stores, you know, 80% off or, you know, whatever, whatever kind of merchandise they're selling. And yet the suggested retail price is so much higher than anybody sells it for anyway. But FTC sometimes gets involved, usually not.
In that business, they call it markup to markdown.
Markup to markdown.
You mark it up way up to some ridiculous price, right, so that you can claim a 75% sale.
Exactly.
And essentially, what I assumed was that insurance companies would act on behalf of the consumer to try to keep prices down because they're paying the bills. Mm-hmm. What I've come to realize is they don't do that. They hardly do that anymore.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, what about doctors? They're kind of caught in between, it seems like.
Well,
between the hospitals, administrators, the insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies.
Yeah, I mentioned before about lack of competition, and doctors are a good example. So in the 70s and 80s, hospitals began merging. And so you had a smaller number of much stronger hospitals, mm-hmm. and they started raising their rates. Insurance companies, in turn, then had to start merging as well. And we had several major mergers just in the last few years. And so doctors had to get in the game as well. And I think something like 70% of all doctors in the U.S. are in large medical groups.
Is that right? 70%?
Don't quote me on that. I think it's roughly
right. Over 50% for
sure. And so essentially the three steps in the value chain, the doctors, the hospitals, and insurers, are all not quite monopolies but cartels. And mm-hmm. in our book, we call it the health cartel. And as I said earlier, I think they politically protected themselves from antitrust. I think we have to use the antitrust laws to try to break some of these monopolies up.
Well, let's just hope Amazon doesn't buy the insurance companies. They're going to buy all these, the big insurance companies or hospitals, and then we're screwed.
Well, funny you should mention that, because about 9 months ago, Amazon, J.P. Morgan, and Berkshire Hathaway, of all things,
really
announced a health partnership.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You're right. I forgot about that.
They've been very, very dark. It's
probably going on behind the scenes.
There's absolutely no question they're serious about it. But what I mean is very little has come out about how they're going to approach it. Mm-hmm. I imagine it's going to involve a lot of IT, because Amazon is known for that very much.
Right.
And probably next year, They're gonna launch something, but we don't know what it is.
Wow.
I've also thought Walmart would start opening clinics, and that hasn't happened yet.
Uh-huh. And what about these minute clinics? On the local level, let's see, Lungs Drugs and CVS pharmacies, things like that.
Generally, what's happened is, I mean, when you have a monopoly who uses their monopoly power to raise prices, eventually, if somebody else can, they'll get in the market and start offering at lower prices. Mm-hmm. And the main thing have been what you call the minute clinics. I thought it'd be at Walmart. It so happens it's been at the drugstores, Longs and Walgreens and places like that.
Right.
I've actually gotten some care there at one of them myself. It was fine.
Uh-huh.
But thus far, at least, the competition from those has not brought down provider rates at all.
Okay. Now, getting back to political the political aspect or the side of healthcare. Let's talk about some of the mistakes that conservatives, we only have about two minutes left, so maybe a minute spent on the main mistakes that conservatives made with healthcare policy and then those that liberals made.
Yeah, sure.
Just to
recap. I'll talk two. The main mistake conservatives made in the ACA was a claim that the markets could solve everything.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have the guts to actually make markets work, as I said before. The main mistake liberals make is the belief that the market is completely broken and you need government to replace it. That was sort of the first half of this decade. The recent conservative mistake has been, we'll repeal the ACA, but we won't have anything to replace it with.
Right, right.
And we talked about this before. And the Democratic mistake is, we'll impose universal care and somehow it'll save money.
Right, right. They're both pipe dreams, but
yes, exactly.
They're the two extremes. So what's your view of Obamacare?
Pretty flip there, David.
As far as the present, the way it is presently, how it was originally conceived.
Yeah. I think Obamacare, there are two fundamental challenges with healthcare: cost and access. Obamacare dealt entirely only with the second. They expanded health insurance to many people. They cut the uninsured rate by about 3/4, but they did nothing about cost. In fact, they made cost somewhat worse. The new judge's ruling, he has stayed his ruling so that Obamacare will continue for a while until it's fully adjudicated. But I think, I think the Republican attempt to dismantle Obamacare is now done. Because you now have Democratic Congress, they're going to want to go the other way. They're going to want to go on offense. Mm-hmm. So I think you'll see Obamacare strengthen in Congress, and I think you'll definitely see, as I said before, a bidding war for universal care proposals by Democratic presidential candidates.
And do you think the bipartisan efforts will produce anything? I mean, if there are some, or if there are any?
There's a major private organization called Partnership for Healthcare or something or other that is attempting to bring insurance companies and employers together. I'm skeptical it's going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm. So that means we'll have to bring you back for another show next year or whenever you come back to Hawaii.
Yeah, if you want to depress yourself, sure, I'd be happy to.
All right. Okay. Well, on that note, Philip Romero, tell us how people can get your book. First of all, the name again, how can people get it?
Our book's called Health Financing Without Deficits, Reform That Sidesteps Political Gridlock, Philip Romero and Randy Miller. And it's available from the publisher, businessexpertpress.com, or from Amazon.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Philip Romero there. Next hour, again, Dr. Thomas Somerville joins us to discuss the optimal dose of vitamin D. Little facts you may not know about this miraculous vitamin that can keep you well, especially at this time of the year. Plus, all of our regular features next hour as well. So stick around for hour number two after the top of the hour Fox News. I'm David Snow here on Dr. Health Radio. Also, our show does rebroadcast tonight from 9 to 11 p.m. for Saturday Night Healthy, right here on AM 690 or 94.3, The Answer.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.